first reading is from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 to 16 and 20 to 24. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements of the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and make them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away, I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. May your word live in us and bear much fruit.
Our psalm today is Psalm 100, and we're going to say this responsively. So I'll read to the colon and the bits in bold if you can respond together as one body with one voice. Oh, shout to the Lord in triumph, all the earth. Know that the Lord, He is God. Come into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise.
Give thanks to Him and bless His holy name.
For the Lord is good, His loving mercy is forever. Isn't that a wonderful song? We're going to hear now from Ephesians, and Gus is going to bring us that reading. No, he isn't. Aileen is. And then Brett will bring us the gospel.
So the New Testament reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 1, reading verses 15 to 23. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. May your word live in us.
Please stand for the gospel reading. The good news of Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison or go and visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was ill and in prison and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or ill or in prison and did not help you?" He replied, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord, have your way in me. May the Lord open our eyes and our ears and our hearts, so we may grow more and more in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. It's an enormous joy to be with you. In fact, the second time in 2 weeks. And it's just lovely to be here. And this is a very special day for Kerry and Tim and Chelsea. And I think they're very brave to publicly affirm their faith in front of all of you, but you look like a very friendly crowd in front of in which to do so. And as Reverend Shane has said, this is the last Sunday of the church's year, and it's a very special Sunday. It's Christ the King Sunday. And as you look at that picture, and on your e-news last week, there was also a picture slightly different. It was a vertical one rather than a horizontal one. That's a crown of thorns as well as a crown. And it reminded me of a very old hymn that was written nearly 200 years ago. Some of you may remember. It goes like this. "The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. A royal diadem adorns the mighty victor's brow." Jesus has earned this astonishing position. And Ephesians brings that out. And let's see if this works. How about this? You had this read to you just now, and some of you were nodding. This is astonishing. It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead that is offered to us who follow Christ. It's offered to Kerry and Tim and Chelsea and to all of us, the greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. Click. And as Paul points out, the highest place, this is the second verse from that hymn, the highest place that heaven affords is his by right, the King of kings and Lord of lords and heaven's eternal light. And he is the head of the church. As a result of this, it is Christ we turn to know who is in charge of the church. Really important. And that brings us to the gospel reading. Click. Because we're reminded that Jesus is coming back in great glory, and every eye will see him. The season of Advent that Reverend Shane told us was just about coming up is all about two comings, because the word Advent means to come to. Two comings. The first one is obviously for Christmas, and a preparation for that. We had a new addition to the wider family 2 days ago, a little baby girl called Catherine Grace, born to one of my Australian nephews. And she's tiny and beautiful and very special because they had been told they wouldn't be able to have a child at all. So you can imagine how delighted they were. But looking at the pictures, this utterly defenseless, helpless, vulnerable child is how God chose to come to this world in order to save us. And as we prepare for Christmas, as Shane was suggesting, I hope we will have time just to reflect on what it meant for God to come and be the saviour of his people. But we also remember that Jesus is going to come again. And when he comes again, it will be in great glory and every eye shall see him. It'll be a very different scenario. Click. There's also a bit of a theme about sheep in the readings today, and I came across these characters with Archdeacon Jeff a couple of weeks ago. They are, I think, Merino sheep, and they belong to Anne and Roland Ritson, who used to have a farm of 3,000 acres. It's down to 1,000, but they love their sheep, and they are very fond of these particular characters. And as you read in our psalm together today, know that the Lord, he is good. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, sorry, and the sheep of his pasture. It's God who's made us. He's made us to be his. We are his people. We often think in our individualistic, capitalistic, modern world that we are in charge of our own lives. But the Bible has a different message for us, that actually we are God's sheep and the sheep of his pasture. Click. And that reminds us in this wonderful passage in Ezekiel that it's God who is his people's shepherd, that he looks out for us. And he paints the most wonderful picture, click, of us, although we may be a scattered flock, that God will look after his sheep. He will rescue them. He'll search for the lost and the strays, for good pasture. He'll make them lie down. I remember reading many years ago a book on the Psalm 23 by a shepherd. And he said one of the things that shepherds do is stop the sheep from just charging off everywhere and actually just make them lie down and rest. And I wonder if there's anyone here today who actually needs to hear God saying, I want you to lie down. I want you to rest. I don't want you to be charging around and getting exhausted. He strengthens the weak. He binds up the injured. I, the Lord, will be their God. Click. And click again. And another time. As I said, that was the Psalm 23 reading. And then another click. It's just a wonderful psalm. However, as you will know, being sheep isn't necessarily always a sign of our willingness to do what God wants us to do. And the famous verse from Isaiah 53 is, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one of us to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That crown of thorns that we have, that Jesus had, was a result of our waywardness. And that amazing passage in Isaiah says, surely he's borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquity. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole again. And by his bruises, we are healed. I'm going to get you to backtrack one slide. I don't know if you notice anything or whether you can see what's happening with these sheep. But actually, they're the wrong side of the fence. How many times have you discovered sheep on the wrong side of the fence? I often think I ought to stop and try and help them back in, but I can tell you it doesn't work very well. And sometimes we end up on the wrong side of the fence as Christians. We go off on our own way. We stray away. And God wants to bring us back into the fold. And if, again, you're a person for whom that fits, please hear what God's saying to you, that he wants to recover you and get you on the right side of the fence. And then the next slide, please. And Peter picks up this theme and says, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now you've been returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." It's a very special place to be in, which brings us to the gospel reading, the sheep and the goats. For the last three chapters in Matthew, Matthew's been talking about Jesus coming again, and the stories from Jesus are all about his coming again. So there's a whole passage on the necessity for watchfulness, that you should be awake and ready for him when he comes. Then there's the story of the faithful and the unfaithful slave that you'll remember, and the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, the wise ones and the foolish ones, and the parable of the talents, the people given 1, 5, and 10 talents, and what they did with them. And they're all about reminding us of being ready for Jesus when he comes again. And so the next slide, Jesus will come with all his angels, and he'll sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be before him, and he'll separate them as a shepherd separates the goats. Next slide, please. The sheep and the goats. That's it. And that's easy, isn't it? You can easily tell the sheep from the goats, can't you? Next slide. What are these? Sheep? Well done. They are indeed sheep. These are called Jacob's sheep. And the reason I know about them was because when I was growing up, we lived on the backing onto a reservoir with a big grass slope. And they had these sheep to keep the grass down. But I discovered that these sheep had horns and were black and white. And of course, Jacob's sheep come from Palestine. They come from this part of the world. And it isn't quite so easy to tell which ones are which. And I was talking to Archdeacon Jeff's wife yesterday, who's a vet. And she tells me that Damara and Dorper sheep are also very hard to tell their lambs from goats' kids. So it's a bit of a task, but God knows who's who. But we can't always tell who are the sheep and who are the goats. There's just some pictures here of fields of kids and lambs and sheep and the shepherd dividing them off. So this brings me to my next slide and a question. In the gospel reading, what are the criteria for being a sheep or a goat? Believe in Christ? Is that what it said? What they did. Keep going. What do they do? Visit me in jail. Feed me when I'm hungry. Yep. Look after me when I'm sick. And it's Hebrew poetry, so it's a big contrast, black and white, sheep and goats. And there are two different groups. There's one group on the right hand, who are the good and the favored ones, the sheep. And there's another group on the other hand, who are cursed, who are the goats. And the difference between them is that one group is doing all of those things and the other group isn't. The ones who aren't, there seems to be a self-interest here, being their primary motive. They've shut their eyes to human misery. They've turned a deaf ear. And when they query their status of being on the left, or you're left over here, then there's an injured innocence about their particular inquiry. But the others seem to be unaware that they're doing the thing that's right. There are numerous acts of self-sacrificing service rendered unobtrusively to the people they encounter. They show Christ's compassion. There is unaffected goodness and a perseverance in well-doing. They turn out to be the true sons and daughters of God. And I reckon that it's actually an extraordinary act of faith to be willing to stop what we need and respond to somebody else's need that we encounter, in whatever way that is. These days with television sets, it can be also through seeing the news of people thousands of kilometres away. It's not just somebody we bump into on the street. But in all kinds of ways, God places people before us who need God's touch through us. And I think it takes an extraordinary thing for God to recognize that that's what we're doing. Last week we sang this song, "We give our lives away, we give it all to you, for you have shown us mercy to bring you glory. We give you every day and everything we do, because we have all we need in you." I think it's an extraordinary step of faith, because we're saying, God, I trust you that if I do something for the behalf of somebody else, and not necessarily just for me, that actually that's what you're calling me to do. And I believe in so doing that we're fulfilling the second part of Jesus' summary of the law, to love our neighbour as ourselves. And interestingly, in this particular parable, it almost suggests that in doing that, then we're showing love for God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength that God's calling us to. So today we recall that Jesus is King because he has come to die for us. And he's come, says Jesus in this story, that we all, like sheep, should not be astray, but actually should be the ones who are touching this world around us in remarkable and extraordinary ways. One of the people that I like to quote from time to time talks about us as Christians living questionable lives. And he doesn't mean by that dodgy lives. He means by that lives that make other people stop and say, why did you do that? Why were you kind to that person? Why did you allow that to happen? Because that's the way in our postmodern world people will discover and begin to think more about God, by the way in which we act. So, as I said, Christ is King. We are God's sheep. He will care for us as our shepherd if we're willing for him to do so. God's power that is available to us is astonishing. It is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And he wants us to be ready. Ready for when he comes again. When I was a child in church, I often used to get frightened by these passages that talked about hell and about what would happen. And I'm sure part of it was to remind people that there are consequences for following God or not following God. But I actually think that Jesus told these stories because he wanted us to do something now. He wanted to make sure that we actually realize the significance of this and the importance of this. So as we pray today for Kerry and for Tim and for Chelsea, as they take this step of confirmation, we're just asking God to strengthen them for this service. But I hope it will also be an opportunity for you, as you witness them, to also think about, what am I doing that shows God to the world? I'm going to use the opportunity. So it's a lovely verse here. For we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. He's got things for us to do, and he's longing for us to get involved and to do it. Now, I'm going to take advantage of being here to do three quick ads. And this is for the Foundation for Ministry. We've always asked people to give on this particular Sunday in this diocese for a very long time, and it supports the training and the work of people like Alison and Richard and Brent in this congregation, training for ministry. It also supports new initiatives for ministry. So if you are able to give, we would be very grateful. And then one last thing, and that's we've got Advent reflections. If you're wanting to spend some time just thinking about Christmas and Christ's first coming, this is available to you if you'd like to use it. And coming up in Lent is a series about love one another, which is our third strategy as a diocese. And I was very pleased to receive from Reverend Shane all the things that you are doing along these lines here at Living Water. And this is one of Chelsea's line drawings on the front, and I'm very grateful to her for assisting with this. And I'm hoping that this will be ready sometime in the new year, early in the new year, for you to look at to see whether you might use as a church. Let's pray. Lord, we sung that you're worthy of every song we could ever sing. Jesus, you're the only one who could ever save. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live our lives for you. Lord, may that be true. Amen.